Charlie heard the voices in his mind ring out again and again and again, saying those same phrases they've said before: worthless, lazy, untrustworthy. He did it again. He failed to show up to work on time. He failed to complete all of his duties, and he could just see it in his boss's face as he was berated. "You're lazy. Why do I even have you? You're untrustworthy." And those words struck a chord with Charlie. It brought up all those feelings and experiences that he had with his parents, with his wife, all the failures that he made to his children. Lazy, worthless, untrustworthy. Soon, Charlie, as much as he tried, as much as he wanted to achieve success, began to believe those words. And once an inch was given with those statements in his head, those inner voices of his began to accuse himself. It got to a point where when he was lazy, it was because he was lazy. There was no way out for him. No hope. After all, Charlie began to believe those statements. I want to talk to you guys today in our series of Life, It's Complicated. We're going to be talking about self-sabotage. I think this is one that we can all relate to. Now, I don't know if you know Charlie in your life, or maybe you are Charlie, where you've had people speak these things to you and just gets reaffirmed in your life. See, self-sabotage really began at the garden in the fall, right? It's when we began to drift astray, not just looking at ourselves, not just looking at the broken relationship between us and God and each other, but we really began to do things that we knew we shouldn't be doing. Our hearts were leading us astray because we were corrupt. We had a fallen nature. One person once shared with me, said, "My heart just wants to do bad things." Now, you may think, oh, that's bad, but let's just be honest with ourselves. Our hearts want to do bad things, don't they? That's what temptation is. That's what Jesus talked about last week in the gospel message, where Jesus says, out of our hearts come all sorts of evil things: adultery, lust, murder. Yeah, out of our hearts. And you know this. When you experience lust, greed, desire for vengeance or your own personal justice, what do you feel like? You feel like your heart is on fire, tugging and being pulled into that direction to do that act, to believe in that way, to get some kind of satisfaction out of it. Yeah, our hearts want to do bad things. And all too often, we sabotage ourselves. I mean, I think about the whole thing that's going on in our culture, in our society, about how men often treat women, how we treat people that are different than us. And sometimes I think to myself, really? I don't know if you have that feeling. Like, really? Come on, people, right? We can be better than this. But then I give pause and think about my own life. I'm like, our hearts just want to do bad things. Yeah. And we get into a cycle. It's a vicious cycle, right? We sin, we do something bad, and it doesn't always have to be a particular sin. It could be a mistake or whatever it is, but then someone, maybe either a voice, maybe it's our parents, maybe it was our spouse, a friend, a coworker, treats you harshly because of your action. Says a name to you, calls you something horrible. And at first you're offended by it, but then you begin to do those things. And in your mind, it becomes the inner voice, where your voice just says, yeah, it just confirms what they just called me. And then you begin to do that behavior, and then they call you it again. And it just never ends, right? That cycle of a hurtful word, an action where you failed to do, and then it becomes a harming action, and then it becomes a consequence, and you see the consequence of your behavior. And usually, what we often think of is when we speak harshly to someone and call them and say, hey, you're lazy, you need to get your act together. How often does that really succeed? Not too often. Because then they get depressed or frustrated in anger or embittered, and then all of a sudden they see the consequences and then they behave that way, and then they've got the inner voice, right? Our own conscience accusing us. Saying, yeah, you're right. They're right. They're all right about you. And then you just continue on with the action, the hurtful word, harming action. It just never stops. We call this sin. I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to get off that merry-go-round, right? And maybe as Christians, for many of you, you're struggling with particular sins, and you're thinking, Pastor, I've been a Christian all my life, and I still struggle with this sin. I don't know how to break that cycle. It's hard to break that cycle. It really is. But the good news I have for you is that the cycle is indeed broken. And there's only one person that can break the cycle, that can rip apart that cycle of self-deception, self-sabotage, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. And that's Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus does for you and for me, is that he destroys that cycle of self-sabotage and sin, and he says, hey, you're different. Look at our Old Testament reading in Ezekiel. I love this reading. It's very powerful. Because we get in this attitude, and before I get in the reading, maybe I'll just go back so you don't read ahead. Stop reading. the Israelites got in that cycle too, right? How many of you, when you're reading the Old Testament, you're thinking, Israelites, what are you guys thinking? Right? You just got delivered from slavery. You saw God do all of these plagues and these amazing things. You walked through a sea that was parted. And then when the Pharaoh's army was chasing you, the sea just crushed them all. And then you went to a mountain, and then you saw the presence of God fill up that mountain. And then Moses says, hey, I got to talk to God about some stuff. And you're like, okay. And it only took 40 days for you to say, let's worship someone else. Right? And you and I, we're often thinking, I always think this, I'm like, come on, Israelites. But then again, we look at our own lives, and sometimes we have to say that about ourselves, right? Come on. What am I doing? That cycle there. But the cool thing is, even in the Old Testament, God is talking to them in Ezekiel. He says, hey, guys, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you. And you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. See, even then, once again, Israel was worshiping other gods. They're committing basically spiritual and religious adultery with God. They're seeking out other idols, false gods, false religions. And God consistently says to them, hey, I'm going to cleanse you from your uncleanness. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. That's kind of cool. A new heart, new spirit within us. And I will remove the heart of stone, that hard-heartedness that we can get, and give you flesh, your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. A heart that flows with love, grace, and mercy from God our Father. And I'll put my spirit within you. Notice he says it again. I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. God's encouraging us, saying, hey, you're going to be a new person. A new spirit, new heart. You're going to be clean. And again, in our epistle reading of Corinthians, it says, I'm going to make you, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, you're a what? A new creation. A new creation. And then our gospel reading, Jesus says, hey, I'm going to put new wine. It's going to be new wine, fresh wine. New and renewed. That's what Jesus does. He makes us new again. You and I, my brothers and sisters, are a new creation. We are literally, in a sense, a new person in Christ. A new person. And I know you may be saying, Pastor, yeah, sure, but when I look in the mirror, I don't look very new. Right? We may struggle with that. But that's precisely what we do every Sunday, right? We come here, we confess our sins, we confess that negative identity that is true, but God replaces that identity with something greater, right? He gives us a new identity. He calls us royalty, holy. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we're all a gaga about the new princess, right? Because she's an American. Well, she will be American until she revokes her citizenship, you know, and marries the prince in England. And everyone I know is going to watch, you know, stay up till like 3 o'clock in the morning, get up really early and watch the wedding ceremony and all that. Because secretly, we all want to be royalty, right? I mean, you still want to be princesses. Guys still want to be princes and kings. Right? Well, that's what Jesus says. You are royalty. Having faith and trust in Jesus Christ means that you and I, we have a new identity. It is no longer the voices that ring out in our heads about that false identity. It's no longer the voices that call out, maybe it's our friends or people that are bullying us. It doesn't matter. We are a new person. In Christ. We have been baptized in Him, cleansed, renewed. You're a new person in Jesus Christ. And that's pretty cool. Now, I want to talk to you guys about that renewal that we find, especially in baptism. This right here comes from our catechism, Luther's small catechism. And this is the fourth part in baptism. And it says, hey, what does baptizing indicate with water indicate? Basically, it's saying, you know, what does that mean? You know, how does that change you? And it says it indicates that the old Adam in us, basically our sinful nature, our sabotaging nature in us, should by daily contrition. Contrition means being sorry for our sins, having sorrow over our behaviors and our actions, even our thoughts and deeds and words. And repentance, meaning, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. See, that's a beautiful section here where it talks about that first section. I mean, death, sin, evil is now changed to life, righteousness, purity. I don't know about how many of you guys, but I want to live in that. I want to live in righteousness and purity. I want to live in God with life, not this death and evil desires. That's a struggle that we have, right? See, and I have to say that I struggled with this I struggle with this even as I was teaching in my early years as a pastor, because, I mean, I got that first part, right? Daily contrition, repentance, man, I knew my sins and I hated them and they would be drowned. I'm like, thankful, so thankful that Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. But for the life of me, for the longest time, I really struggled with, what does that mean, a new man, right? Because I look the same. I don't feel entirely different. What does it mean to have the new person, Christ, holy, righteous, royal person, living in my life? Well, it wasn't until I honed in on one word in that whole paragraph that just, for me at least, opened my mind and my life. And that was the word, daily. See, all too often we think that when we're baptized or when we come to faith, it's going to be a continual upward progress of like, hey, I'm working out on my sins, I'm getting a better person. I'm always succeeding, right? At least that's what we tell ourselves, we hope it is, right? And if that is for you, just talk to me afterwards and share me your secrets, okay? But most often, it's usually like we're kind of like this, and then we kind of drop down, and then we kind of do a squiggly up here, and then we go up, and you know, then we, you know, we're all over the board, right? The key here is daily. This is something that we achieve every day. Day by day, we trust in the Lord. Day by day, we repent of our sins and we say, I am a new person in Christ. Have you ever said that every day? Have you ever said to yourself, I'm a new person in Christ? I wonder how many of us have actually said that and said, I'm not like the Ryan of yesterday. I'm going to be the new Ryan today. Now, you don't call yourself Ryan unless your name is Ryan, okay? So just want to make that clear, okay? But yeah, daily, each and every day, I want to challenge you all that every day, starting tomorrow, you wake up and say, I am a new person in Christ. I am forgiven, redeemed, holy, sanctified. I am a new person, and now I get to live in that new person. The issues of yesterday, that's yesterday's person. Drowned. Yeah, I may still have to deal with the consequences of that, but I'm going to be dealing with it as a new person in Christ. I think if we start beginning to ask ourselves every day as we wake up, I'm a new person, today is a new day in Jesus Christ, I think things are going to be a little bit different for us. Not that everything's going to go perfectly for us, obviously, but that we're going to be able to say, hey, I'm redeemed, I'm holy. It's going to be different today because I'm different. I have a new identity every day. I'm clinging in faith and trust to Jesus Christ. What a powerful thing that is, to know that your sins are forgiven, that you are a new person each and every day. I tell my students in confirmation class, I tell them when they get up and they wash their faces with the water, as the water splashes over them, they should be reminded of their baptism, where their identity is found in Jesus Christ. Each day that we should wake up, turn on the shower, be reminded that I am baptized, I am holy, I am righteous because of Jesus. And today is going to be a new day. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks to you that you have redeemed us, that you have sent your Son to die for us, to pay for our sins, and to rise for us, giving us new life that we can live now each and every day. May our days be made new and holy in you. May we be reminded of our identity found in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.